I said that so you draw everything you want to draw, because this is final session at this Wolfbeck. All right. He will come next year, but this year, all right. So just, all right. So take this confession with me. All right, let's make the confession. Father, I make a demand to draw virtue, wisdom, and understanding from your vessel. You said, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. I receive your servant as a prophet, and I make a demand to draw out wisdom, to draw out grace and virtue from him. In Jesus' name. Good luck to you with that confession.
Hallelujah. Please have your blessed seats. I want to appreciate my brother, my friend, Pastor Poju, just and his lovely wife. They have been so kind to us and have taken great care of us. And I am just delighted. Thank you so kindly. I'm so delighted to have this opportunity. To every leader here, thank you. And to Apostle Theophilus, very nice to meet you. Minister Theophilus Sunday this morning, Theophilus Sunday this morning ministered so powerfully, and I was watching that, and I just want to thank him for that wonderful ministration at the hotel. We were feeling it, and I got to meet him briefly yesterday, but thank you for that. Wherever he is, if he can hear me, I hope you'll bring him to Kenya one of these days. This morning I was just in prayer to seek the Lord. Yesterday I dealt with patience. And I wanted then, I was looking for the cue. And I think I mentioned that I'll come and deal with Daniel a little bit. So I'm going to break my message into two. And I'll come to talk about, you remember there were those five people that I mentioned yesterday. Moses, Noah, Daniel, Samuel, and Job. And God has just, I have much to say about them, but I'll just pick out one. But before I go there, let me use my first 20 minutes just to deal with that patience matter and help us understand why it is very important. This morning, your apostle dealt with a subject after Minister Theophilus finished ministering, and he touched on Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. They that know their God have knowledge. Epignosis. They that have that intimate knowledge of God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Now, when I was dealing with tarrying yesterday, patience, that patience is actually similar, very similar to that word of tarrying. And we dealt with the dynamics of the wind and how you can use the wind to your advantage. Now, talking about a tough year is not necessarily being vulnerable. It's actually to give you an understanding that they that know their God, despite turbulence, you get to learn how to let the wind work in your favor. And Jesus says, stay in Jerusalem until you have received power. Can I say with all absolute conviction that I'm very clear that the thing that causes us to faint is when we have not yet learned how to allow the Holy Spirit to help us understand that, one, He's the strongest wind, and that we can navigate any storm when He is with us and fighting for us. So, every believer must be confident of the work God has called them to do and what God will bring them out of. So let me just deal with this. I'm in Acts chapter 2 verse 1. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. Those letters are big enough for me not to need glasses. They were all, if I need glasses to read that, I'm really in trouble. They were all in one accord, in one place. Keep going, please. And the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. This is an assurance that the Holy Spirit came. But I want you to understand, who is the Holy Spirit referred to us? Because many of us in the marketplace get to the assumption that you don't need the Holy Spirit. But let me assure you, I was once being interviewed by a very popular global magazine, and they asked me, I think I mentioned this to you last year, we'd like to know who is your greatest influencer in business, and how would you, you know, guide other young people to use that influencer for the things you've accomplished. So I responded and I said, Jesus Christ. Now this magazine did not like what I said. And so the person said, okay, Mr. Kula, let's rephrase that. Who would you say is alive that would be your greatest influencer as far as matters to do with business is concerned? And I responded, Jesus Christ. Then they came and asked me, okay, let's change the subject, because, you know, I could see he wanted to say, you're one of those fanatics. And then he comes and he brings out a question, says, okay, let's change the subject. Which book would you say is your most efficient book that you read regarding business? And I said, the Holy Bible. Listen to me. Don't try to sound sophisticated out there. That the root of what we do is the Holy Spirit is brilliant. And when you understand how to allow him to let you move around and navigate in the highs and in the lows, it doesn't matter where you find yourself, he's the most amazing teacher. And so I want you to never be ashamed. I think every other religion is extremely proud of what they do except Christians. Because people are not afraid on the flights to lay a mat and pray from other religions. But Christians, even for a meal, you want to hide and mumble something, Father, for the food I'm about to receive, I want to thank you then. And no, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Whether we become those things that we were promised in the prophetic word or whether we don't become, we are not ashamed that had it not been for the Lord on my side, we would have perished. We're not ashamed of the gospel. And so I want to just give credence to the Holy Spirit for every accomplishment. For every one of you that is going to accomplish things, may the Holy Spirit be glorified in your life. And may you never be ashamed to say that I am a child of God. Jesus said in Luke 24 verse 49, he says, behold, I send the promise of the Father. Yesterday I spoke about Parakletos. I want to show you the navigation of the Holy Spirit in the marketplace. I spoke about Parakletos, the one who is called to be alongside you. And I know you wondered why I threw those big words there, but it's so that I come today to now lay what I want to say to you. And he says in Luke 24:49, behold, when you read the promise of the Holy Spirit, every time Jesus spoke about him, he's referred to as the promise of the Father upon you. So when you see the promise of the Father, this is every time Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit, I will send you a helper. This is the promise of the Father. And he says, and but tarry, patience. Wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I want you to understand that Esther's are going to need to be endued with the Holy Spirit. Joseph's are going to need to be endued with the Holy Spirit. Don't think you will do the things that need to be done in that market without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts chapter 2 verse 33, I want to show you how this thing worked. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise. The Father gave Jesus the promise, which means there was a covenantal understanding that at the point the redemption work is finished, when he is exalted, there will be an exchange. And the exchange was that I would be given the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is then given immediately by Jesus. Please stay on that scripture. I want to show you. Jesus finishes the work. Mary tried to touch him. Jesus says, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. So Jesus ascends to the Father, and there is now an exchange. And
having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, he then, could you maybe use NKJV, because this hath is going to throw me off. He says, he poured out. So, he didn't wait. As soon as he received it, he poured out to men. This is that which you see, now see, and hear. So, the promise of the Father is what they had to go and wait for. Tarry in Jerusalem. Let the patience begin, because you would have thought that when you see this in Scripture and you see it, that you need to understand Jesus is the center of all things in Scripture. Every pattern, even in the Old Covenant, is referring to Him. So He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that you look for life in the Scriptures, thinking that therein is life, but outside of me there is no life in those Scriptures. Jesus has to be the center of everything. Every understanding of Christophany and every understanding of how He was coming and appearing in the Old Testament, and how that has a pattern that is embedded in the New Testament, is very important. Let me give you an example of these patterns, because God is addicted to His patterns. I'm going somewhere with this, so let me ask your spiritual intellectuality to just come and play with this imagination for a minute. Everything that Jesus did, He says, I only did that which I see the Father do. So He was looking through patterns. So even when you see stories about Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood, you have to look for the patterns that God is releasing to us through that, so that you can see. Is it Hebrews 8:5? Where it says, Moses, you must build according to the pattern, right? Now, that means that if I'm going to construct a business, I must understand God's pattern. It means if I'm going to be a solution to a generation, I must flow with God's pattern. I must ask the Spirit of God to give me the intellectual prowess to understand seasons and times, so that I can know what to do and how to do it, because I don't want to do a Moses thing in a Joshua time. I could do the right thing at the wrong time. I could build the right thing at the wrong time. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? So I must have the spiritual intellectuality to discern from the patterns of God when to start, how to start, who to start with, and how to grow. When you see Jairus comes to Jesus and says, my daughter is sick. And all of a sudden, I just want to give you an example of a pattern. All of a sudden, he then begins to go to the house of Jairus, and he gets interrupted by a woman with an issue. So there are two women involved here. One is a young girl, one is an older woman. But the Bible says that she had been suffering with the issue of blood for 12 years. And she struggled to touch Jesus. I don't have the time, so let me just speed it up. She struggled to touch Jesus. But Jesus doesn't do just anything. He asks, who touched me? Something has left me. And immediately there is a release of virtue, because Jesus is aware that somebody has touched him, but she had to struggle. Now, by the time this whole interaction is done, Jairus' messengers come and say, don't bother him any longer because your daughter has died. So he goes to tell Jesus, it's okay, don't bother to come to my house anymore. My daughter is now dead. And Jesus still says, let's go. The woman with the issue of blood, pattern. The woman with the issue of blood had been suffering with that issue for 12 years. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old, which means the day this girl was born is the day the issue with blood started. So when you observe this pattern, you'll begin to see with clarity that there is a connection somewhere. What is the pattern? What is the picture that God wants to show us there? It means that you must look at it with spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom. Paul says that there are things we want to tell you about Melchizedek, but you are not yet ready to hear them because your spiritual hearing has not yet reached that maturity. Where did he get that understanding? From a spiritual perspective. There's a place the Holy Spirit begins to release intellectualism for a generation. Please come with me. So, 12 years with an issue, 12-year-old dead. There's a pattern here. The pattern is this. Let me show it to you by the help of the Holy Spirit, that It means that the woman with the issue of blood represents the old covenant. She represents the old covenant because the issue of the old covenant is the issue of blood. And so they had to struggle through men to touch God. Are you understanding me now? So they have to struggle through men. They have to struggle through all this protocol in order to touch God. And they don't really get to touch God. They just get to touch the hem. But the issue of the new covenant is not blood. The issue of the new covenant is death. So Jairus' daughter is dead. And so Jesus comes and introduces a new dimension for us, meaning that the old covenant had to struggle to touch him, but in the new covenant he touches us. So here's Jesus now, and he comes to the dead person. That's why we don't struggle for salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing you did for salvation. There's nothing you did for redemption. There's absolutely nothing. This was a pre-organized thing between God and the Son. That's why Jesus had to go to the Father and receive the promise of the Father so he can pour it out on men. I find it interesting that these men that had been with Jesus had witnessed Jairus' daughter being raised. They had witnessed the woman with the issue of blood touching the hem of his garment. In fact, if you read scripture, they say that that the things that Jesus did cannot fit in the pages. Which means that they had been witnesses of Lazarus coming forth. They had seen Lazarus come forth and they had seen the dead be raised back to life. But even with all that seeing, Jesus says, you still don't qualify until the Holy Ghost, until the promise of the Father has come upon you. So, please come with me. That's why I want to show you why a child of God who starts a shop is not the same as another person who starts a shop. I want to show you why the Babylonic system is always trying to puke out the seed of God. I want to show you what the seed of God is supposed to do so that you are able to accomplish what God has given you the power to do in that place. Being a witness, being there with Jesus was not enough. Being part of his protocol was not enough. He still said, you have to wait. Why? I want to show you why this was so important. Tarry in Jerusalem. Be patient until you have been endued with power. He says to them, don't leave. Stay there. I want to show you something. The Holy Spirit was given to the Son once the work of redemption was finished. Patterns. Adam and Eve are tricked by a tree. God is not a man that he should lie. Let me talk to every enemy of your destiny. Every person that has tricked the children of God, they have messed with a father that is shrewd. Because to the shrewd, God will show himself as shrewd. So you have to have this confidence that if Satan tricked us by a tree, and if you see that in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, can I give you just a really quick another pattern in 2 minutes? Because I told you I want to split the message in two and then talk about Daniel. In Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. Ladies and gentlemen, the victory is already shown from Genesis 3:15. Because one seed has a small s. The other seed has a capital S. And this enmity, I want to show you a pattern. Because I want to show you how this pattern is even today in the marketplace. And this seed, Satan started looking for the seed of the children of God from that day and was trying to map it out. This seed has been a mysterious seed, but Satan had tricked the children of God with a tree. Now, David comes, Jesus is called the seed of David. David comes and puts out Goliath, the son of Gath, from the family of Gath. And Goliath is killed and David takes the head of Goliath and buries it. Most of you have not studied to understand where the head was buried. But the head was buried in a place called the place of the skull. Golgotha. Jesus was not crucified anywhere. He said, your seed shall crush. So when Jesus was crucified, I want you to understand that it was not just anything else, but he had to carry a tree to Golgotha. And at Golgotha, the place of the skull, the head of the enemy of the seed of God is crushed by the feet of Jesus. And there's a bruising of the feet, but there's a crushing of the head. But watch this. This is the pattern. The pattern is, God said, Satan, you used a tree to trick my children. I've used a tree to bring them back. So in other words, no matter how the enemy is trying to use Babylonic systems to trick the children of God, God is going to use that same system to make redemption come back to the children of God. So I have news for you. This is not how our story ends. Oh, glory be to God. This is not how our story ends. I have a feeling I'm going to get in trouble in this service, but since it's my last service, I might as well misbehave. Tell somebody, this is not how our story ends. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe we're going to end at the bottom of the pit. Something is going to shift. And those who think that they are shrewd and that they are smart, the systems of this world, God is going to catapult us into a place where the intellectualism of the children of God is going to cause some overtaking to happen. But he says, wait, don't go ahead of me. Wait until I give you my secret, my strategy. Wait until the promise of the Father has come upon you. No matter how much of a businessman you believe you are, wait. No matter how good that idea is, tarry. Don't rush ahead of God. Don't go before God. Don't go ahead of God. But wait and let the timing of God be perfect for what you are supposed to do. He says, wait for that promise. Why? This is important. It's the promise of the Father. Jesus, this is important for you to understand. I mean, Luke chapter 3 verse 21. Let me use the Luke and not the Mark, not the Matthew one. Why is this important? I just had Apostle talking about a son that he raised who is now in the Kenneth Copeland Ministries. This is why this is important. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized. Huh? So what is Satan's issue with us in the marketplace? And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. The next verse, please. When all the people were, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. This was the first announcement by heaven that this is a son. I'm a student of grace. And I've understood how grace works. That's why I was in Ghana. I was collecting grace. That's why I'm here. I've come to collect more grace. I'm not just here speaking. I'm collecting something. And I believe that there is a lot that God has to show us. When I was here last year, I told you that there's something that dropped in my spirit in January. When I came here last year in January, something dropped in my spirit as part of the solutions that God wants to give. Today is not the day. But he said he heard a voice from, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my son. Confirmation. So it means that the Spirit of God that came upon Jesus was the spirit of sonship. It means the Holy Spirit is the spirit of sonship, which means when he comes upon you, he becomes the seal of sonship. The reason that seeing Lazarus rise from the dead is not enough, you have to wait until you have received the seal of sonship. So Satan's issue with us is not because we are anointed, but because we are sons. Because once you wait and the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then you're entering that market as a son. Oh, kashatala daba. His issue is the benefits of sonship far outweigh the benefits of witnessing. Because the benefits of sonship bring you into heirship. They bring you into having the privilege to be able to handle certain things with the wisdom and understanding of God. And that's why I want to take you to now see Daniel. So even Jesus had to wait, Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts,
crying out, Abba, Father, because you are sons. So when I'm a son owning that petrol station, it's different from when I'm just a pure witness. When I'm a son, it makes a difference, but the attack of hell is designated. Satan is not omnipresent. Therefore, he has to be careful with his resources. And so because of that, the earth is not waiting for anyone else, but it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, which means if you haven't tarried and you haven't received the promise of the Father, you cannot be called a son, which means the seal is the seal of sons. What was the apostle talking about right now? He was talking about 1 Corinthians 9:2. He's talking about Paul. Paul is saying that, yes, I'm an apostle, but I'm not everybody's apostle. I may not be an apostle to others. Listen, no matter how anointed you are, you've not been called to everybody. So he says, I'm an apostle, yes, but I'm not an apostle to others, but an apostle. I'm an apostle to you, which means that you have become the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Which means the rubber stamp I should be seeing at Kenneth Copeland's church is the apostleship that God has given me a son through you. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing is about sonship. In our church, I have over 800 entrepreneurs. The seal of my apostleship is them. I say, if you mess up out there, you are embarrassing me. Because you are the seal of my apostleship. You're not just a stranger here. You're not just some statistic. You're a son. And when you're a son of God, then you start to operate in the market with that understanding. So the interests of God in his sons are bound in this thing. And that is Satan's issue with you. Not because you're anointed, but because you are a son. In Egypt, every time there were sons, Egypt wanted to puke them out. In Babylon, they wanted to puke out the sons. The presence of the divine seed causes disturbance and turbulence. Now let me come to Daniel. They that know their God, Daniel 11:32, right? They shall be what? That knowledge there is that epignosis, that intimacy, that they shall be strong and that they shall do exploits. I pray that God will give me that teaching grace right now for you to understand this. Now come with me to Daniel 11:32. I want to show you something. How did Daniel 11:32 come into play? People read it, but they don't understand what was going on before and what was going on after. Do you have the message version? Good. If you can go to verse 1 of Daniel 11, the affairs of men. In Daniel 11, verse 1, he says, the king of the north will pay up. This is just to show you how men operate, the things of men. In fact, if when I read this apostle, I keep thinking about Africa. So it starts to give you a synopsis of the prophetic insight that Daniel was receiving about the things that were going to happen in the kingdoms. So in chapter 1, in verse 1, he says, this is what will happen. I've been helping him out as I can ever since the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede. Let me now tell you the truth, how things are going to be. Three more kings of Persia will show up. And then a fourth will become richer than all of them. When he senses that he is powerful enough as a result of his wealth, he will go to war with the entire kingdom of Greece. This is a man in his room. God is showing him the things that are going to happen. So children of God, sons of God, the work is not for you to sit, discuss, what is Trump going to do? What is President Tinubu going to do? What is President Ruto going to do in Kenya? When they say, no, prophetically, you will already have received downloads as sons so that you have advanced understanding. So Daniel has it. That's why he was not worried. He says, this is what will happen. Look at verse 2. Then a powerful king will show up and take over a huge territory and run things just as he pleases. Verse 3, just keep going. Let's have fun with this. At the height of his power, everything under his control, the kingdom will split into four parts. Previdio. God is giving us insight before it happens. So that when things happen, you're not surprised. And then he goes, can I show you? It shows there's a consortium of kings that will come up. Then the daughter of this one will marry this one. Because of time and what I want to show you. Go to verse 10. Let me show you what begins to happen in verse 10. But then his sons will raise a huge army, rush down like a flood, a torrential attack on the defenses of the south. So nothing is surprising us. Furious, the king, look at verse 20. These are powerful kings. I'm talking about kings of the Persian element. He will be replaced shortly by a real loser. The affairs of men.
that children of God keep getting caught up in. He'll be his rule, his reputation, his authority already in shreds. He won't last long. He'll slip out of history quietly, even without even a fight. Look at the next verse. His place will be taken by a reject. Politics. Who's coming? The politics of men. How you get played in the office. So-and-so will come and become the CEO, and then will come and remove this, and will change this, and then people are taking your positions. Then you come to verse 32. But they that know their God, which means the knowledge of God is what gives you stability despite the plots and the schemes of men. Are we together? Then from 33, it continues again. So to show you how the Holy Spirit helps a child in the marketplace, Daniel is a perfect example. So in Daniel chapter 5, verse 1, stay in the Message version. Daniel has been fired. This is why a believer should not panic when they are fired. Because if you know your God, there are some things that will not cause turbulence in your spirit. Take me to Daniel 5:1. Today I'm going to preach. He says, King Belshazzar held a great feast for his 1,000 nobles. Let me paint a picture. This is Persian kingdom. This means these are global rulers. All his governors have come. You can imagine the opulence. You can imagine the kind of wagons that were driving, escalades. 16 cars in entourage. Every one of them is coming with 25,000 people. You know those things in Nigeria, when your governors are passing, you say, hey. I was in Enugu. I saw there was a governor's meeting. 15 governors were passing in Enugu. And we happened to be stopped on the road. I said, Jesus. I saw machine guns, people with AK-47s in the window. Move, move, move. Hey, 25 cars. I said, have they all passed? I said, no, that's just one. Hey. I said, Nigeria. Hey. From where I come from, I asked, is it the president? I said, no, it's governors. Say, if it was the president. This is what was happening. 1,000 nobles gathered. Pa, pa, pa. It's intimidating. If you're a child of God and you're standing there and you have a small church, you say, hey, there are kings. There are kingdoms. Go on, please. I want to make sure I maximize every minute I have. Verse, King Belshazzar had a great, his 1,000, the wine flowed freely. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been to forums by the grace of God where I can feel the intimidation of Babylonic systems. It is there, it is evident, it exists. It is present in our time. Satan is still looking for whom he may devour. But look at the secret of that scripture. He says, like a roaring lion. Not like a lion. He's not a lion. There's only one lion. He just roars like a lion, but he's not a lion. We have one lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Glory be to God. That's what gives me confidence. Because when I look at what he did, when he died on that cross, he was at his weakest. And Satan was at his strongest. Watch this paradigm. It means that Jesus at his weakest defeated Satan at his strongest. What are you talking about? Could you look at two people and say, Jesus is king? Play for me, son. I'm getting there now. I'm warming up. So, 1,000 nobles, cars, machine, arrive. And then, could you go to the next verse, please? Verse 2. Belshazzar, heady with wine, ordered that the gold and silver chalices his father Nebuchadnezzar had stolen from God's temple of Jerusalem be brought in, so that his nobles and his wives and concubines could drink from them. I feel this is a message for Africa. Continue. When the gold and silver chalices were brought in, the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank wine from them. They drank the wine and drunkenly praised their gods made of gold and silver, bronze and iron and wood and stone. Watch this. Then at that very moment,
the fingers of a human hand appeared and began writing on the lamp, illumined, whitewashed wall of the palace. When the king saw the disembodied hand writing away, he went white as a ghost. I don't know in Africa what color we'd have turned, but he went white as a ghost, scared out of his wits. His legs went limp and his knees knocked. In other words, there's a version that helps you. He got instant diarrhea. Wait, let's analyze this for a minute. This is the most powerful king on the earth at the time. God didn't come. God didn't send an angel. God looked and said, hand, go. Please. I'm trying to talk to your enemies. There are some things God doesn't even have to send an angel to some of your enemies. Even a hand from God can shake systems. I perceive today there's a hand that is being sent to somebody somewhere. The Bible says a hand came from heaven and began to write on the wall, and the most powerful person, which means that people should not play with our God. We may not look like we have the 1,000 machines, but let me assure you, the one that is backing us up can be able to change an entire market in a day. I prophesy over somebody's life. Whatever has been tormenting you, tonight in the name of Jesus, may God send a hand. Go on. Let me show you. He yelled for the enchanters, the fortune tellers, the diviners to come. He told these Babylonian magi, anyone who can read this writing on the wall, tell me what it means, will be famous and rich. Purple robe, the great gold chain, and third in command. Continue. One after the other, they tried. They tried to explain why the dollar is falling. They couldn't. They tried to explain how things are going to get better in Africa. They couldn't. He called the people that looked the wisest. They couldn't explain anything. Please keep my scripture up. I want to stay there. They could neither read not what was written nor interpret it to the king. They couldn't read the signs of the times. Because every time you see the kind of chaos we've seen in Africa, I believe the stage has been set for Joseph's. Oh, I'm coming home now. God has a way of setting the stage where only Daniel can be able to read what is written. So when you see that there are things that are falling, there are times when I look at Africa and I look at where we are, even in the area of agriculture. I look at my country. I don't know, we are injecting cows with water and other things, but I don't want to go there. I don't want to get in trouble while I'm in another country. But we are having interesting experiments happening with our animals. We're having interesting things happening in the agriculture field. We're having countries like even China come and begin to occupy agricultural land. But they that know their God, it's the remnant of God in Africa that is going to bring Africa back in the place that God is exalting us. Listen, I know in Nigeria the embassies are full of people leaving. But if you discover what God is about to do in Africa, you will not be going. Because there are two dimensions of the evangelical. There is go and make disciples. But there's another dimension of the evangelical called come and see. And I believe that in this very time of our generation, there shall be people that shall come and see what the Lord has done in Nigeria. If there's a Daniel here, let me hear you say hallelujah. If there's an Esther here, let me hear you shake your neighbor and say our time has come. I feel like preaching this thing. It's my last session. I might as well. Now, go on to the next verse. They can't interpret what's going on because God will not open their eyes. So now the king was really frightened. All the blood drained from his face. The nobles were in a panic. Verse 10. I have 20 minutes. Let's make this happen. The queen heard of the hysteria among the king and his nobles and came to the banquet hall. She said, long live the king, all protocols observed. Don't be so upset. Don't sit around looking like ghosts. Watch this. There is a man.
I came to make one announcement in Nigeria. There is a man in your kingdom. There is a man in Uganda. There's a man in Kenya. There's a man in Nigeria. Sisters, when I say there's a man, I'm being spiritually neutral. Because in the spirit, there's no gender. There is a man in Ghana. There's a man in South Africa. God still has a man in Nigeria. Because if we all run away, who's gonna build? There's a man. And the Bible says there's not just a man, but he's full. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive the spirit of sonship. There's a man full of the divine Holy Spirit. During your father's time, he was well known for his intellectual brilliance, which means being saved does not mean we are dumb. Which means when we fear the Lord and we love Jesus, it doesn't mean you're going to dismiss us from those companies. We understand how to run the phone companies. Come on, somebody. We understand engineering. We understand. Because what do you think Daniel was doing in those boardrooms with King Nebuchadnezzar? He was discussing infrastructure. He was discussing trade. He was discussing fiscal policies. I came to raise the geniuses of Nigeria and to declare in the spirit of Yahweh, something is about to be birthed in Nigeria that will begin to spill out of this place. Children that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are walking in the I don't know what you call it in Nigeria. Do you call it a rock house? Aso rock. But they're just rekos kata predos katalada in the corridors. And people say, what are you saying? Oh, I'm just speaking to the Father. He's releasing on me fiscal policies. Rekos kata predos kata. We are not ashamed of the gospel of truth, for it is that I see you walking in the state house of Uganda and they're looking at you funny, but you're not ashamed of the gospel of truth, for it is the power of God unto righteousness. And you begin to tell them God is downloading blueprints on education for the next generation. We don't need to import Western education. We can develop our children. For the things that God wants to do in Africa have never been seen before. I come as a messenger of Yahweh and tell you something is about to be birthed in Africa by children who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're not going to be ashamed. Watch this. She's describing Daniel. And Daniel is not even there. Let me tell you, when God gets ready to use you, you don't have to put yourself on anybody's Facebook. When God begins to advertise you, somebody in the palace will read your own CV in your absence. I don't know who I came for. When David was in the wilderness, somebody was reading his CV to King Saul. When Joseph was in prison, somebody was reading his CV to Pharaoh. I came to announce somebody is going to read your... Give me a phone. Let me show you. This is what happens. Can you see this light? Can you see this light? You can see it. You can see it. Can you see it now? It's not that the light is off. It's that it needs help to be repositioned. And that's how grace travels. Grace travels with words. The words that we are speaking here this week, they are spirit and they are life. So when we speak these words, what we are doing is that we are repositioning some of you. Because you've not been able to reposition yourself. Somebody is going to announce you before the end of this week. Yes. Could you give me some keys on Ezebube? See how far you brought me. Now watch this. The next verse. We're going to worship for a minute. He says, there's a man in your kingdom full of the divine Holy Spirit. During your father's time, he was well known for his intellectual brilliance and spiritual wisdom. He was so good that your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him the head of all the magicians, enchanters, fortune tellers, and diviners. Go to the next verse. There was no one quite like him. Hey, I declare over you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, he could do anything. He could interpret. He could interpret dreams, solve mysteries, explain puzzles. This is somebody reading the CV. And then he says, his name. His name. Put your name there. His name. Nigeria, are you ready? Put your son's name there. Put your child's name there. Because you're not going to give birth to mumus. Your children shall be a delightsome in Nigeria. His name is Daniel. But he was renamed Belteshazzar by the king. Have Daniel called in. He'll tell you what's going on here. In other words, don't push yourself. Stay in Jerusalem. Sons don't advertise themselves. Sons tarry. That's why you have to get your soul to be patient. You have to align your soul with your spirit and say, I know whom I believe it. I'm persuaded. I want to tell you something. Where was Daniel? He had been fired. But he was at home. Praying. Can someone give me their jacket? Does anyone have a jacket? I know I'm in Nigeria. We may not have a jacket. I need a jacket. An anointed jacket. Someone give me your jacket. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Watch this. I like showing this illustration. This was Daniel. Thank you, sir. God bless you. You look very smart. This was Daniel. Do you have like a microphone stand? Something I can use just for a demonstration. Just a stand. Just give me a stand. Any stand that is idle. Kopaya koskata. How does that song start? My mind is full of gratitude. Thank you, sister.
And no one else but you.
Watch this.
I see.
So I cannot
imagine. The one who has done your grace. So sure
that's my favorite part of that song.
This is not
that's my favorite part of that song. I'm so sure. Sing that again. I'm so sure
that this is not the end.
I feel the presence of God.
I'm so sure
this is not the end.
This is
I have to finish this thing. Watch this. Have Daniel called in. He'll tell you what's going on here. Can I tell you what I see? Before this conference ends, there are some phone calls some of you are going to get. They had fired Daniel. But remember in Daniel chapter 11, while this one is doing that, and that one is doing that, and that one is doing that, but they that know their God, despite where the dollar is, despite who has fired who, they that know their God. So Daniel is at home. He hears a knock on the door. There's like 720 soldiers over there. Sir Daniel. We have come to get you, sir. Now, Daniel, I can assure you, he had showered. He was ready. He was not caught by surprise. Because there is nothing God will do on the earth except he reveal it to his servants. So I can only imagine Daniel saying, that's fine. I was waiting for you.
You need to be calm in the things of God to know that when God has begun a work, He will see it to the very end. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So David just goes and picks his jacket, which he had prepared. I can only imagine him walking and saying, I was waiting for you. Let's go. I see that as your January 2025. Please go to the next verse. He says, so Daniel was called in. The king asked him, are you the Daniel who was one of the Jewish exiles my father brought here from Judah? I've heard about you, that you're a fool, which means you're the seal of God's apostleship. You're the seal of God as a son. You're not ashamed to be full of the Holy Spirit in government, in the marketplace, in the wall, in Wall Street. We are going to be full of the Holy Spirit in those places. I heard that you've got a brilliant mind, that you're incredibly wise. The wise men and enchanters were brought in here to read this writing on the wall and interpret it for me. They couldn't figure it out. Not a word. Not a syllable. But I've heard that you interpret dreams and solve mysteries. So if you can read the writing and interpret it for me, you'll be rich and famous. We'll give you what men make. We'll give you money. We'll give you position. We'll throw this thing around at you and make you feel like you've arrived. We'll give you a Guzzler. We'll give you a Cadillac. We'll give you a house in Beverly Hills. Your name will become great. People will say that you are the one. You know, all these things you've been waiting for. But we come from a different system. When God decides to bless us, He doesn't bless us with what men make. That's why Abraham said, keep your money. I don't need your money lest you say you made me rich. When God blessed Abraham, He blessed him with what he makes. He blessed him with livestock. Who makes livestock? He blessed him with gold. Who makes gold? He blessed him with silver. Who makes silver? When God decides to bless His children, no man can match what God can bless His children with. So Daniel says, next verse. Flow with me. Next verse. Daniel answered, keep your gifts. Give them to someone else. I'm not Simon the sorcerer. I don't sell prophecies. I don't need an envelope for you to give me your word, to give me God's word. I am a servant of God. Freely we receive. Freely we give. Shake somebody, say, I'm carrying something. Oh, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's something we have for Africa. And you're not going to give us positions so that you can manipulate how God is going to use us. No, we are carrying something that cannot be compromised. You don't have to sleep with anybody. This thing, God has preserved it for you. It is yours in the name of Jesus. Stay in Jerusalem. Then he says, you can keep your gifts. Give them to someone else. But I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. He said, I like this part. He said, listen, king. Where are we? Next verse. My time is up. I have 6 minutes and we have to worship. Because I want to pray for you before I go. It's my last session with you here. Could you put it up for me? Listen, O king, the high God gave your father, Nebuchadnezzar, a kingdom
and a glorious reputation. Because a lot of people think that they are the ones who have done it. It's God. Then he says, just keep the scriptures going. Because God made him so famous, people from everywhere, whatever their race, color, and creed, were totally intimidated by him. He killed or spared people on whim. He promoted, humiliated people capriciously. Capriciously is a word. Keep going. He developed a big head and a hard spirit. Then God knocked him off his high horse and stripped him of his fame. He was thrown out of human company. This is the verse I've been waiting to get to. He was thrown out of human company, lost his mind and lived like a wild animal. He ate grass like an ox and was soaked by heaven's dew until he learned his lesson that the high God rules human kingdoms. I'm here to let you know there is no kingdom on earth that our Father in heaven is not above. I declare in the name of Jesus, every son of God under my voice right now, we scatter every enemy of your destiny and declare in the name of Jesus that before the end of January 2025, some of you shall begin to see what God has been working on for the last 10 years. If you believe what I'm talking about, lift up those hands in the air and begin to worship and receive something right now. There's a hand coming on every enemy of your destiny. The Daniels are here. The Esthers are here. Oh, I can see.
I can tell. And I know. Oh my God, I will say I can tell, and I know that. Oh my, say.
Daniels are here tonight. What did I come to do? I came to raise the champions of Africa. I speak over you and declare, arise and shine. For your light has come. And the glory of the Lord. Please listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Grace cannot stay in supernatural state. It must find a way to become natural for it to become beneficial. That's why healing must manifest in the physical. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? So when the prophet came and the woman had debt, he asked, "What do you have?" She said, I have oil. Then he said, "Go get vessels, because for the supernatural thing to work, the oil can only be contained in vessels." Grace must find natural ready vessels for the supernatural to be able. That is why if you study scripture and you understand the mystery of Christ and you understand the mystery of the church, you will discover that even the angels did not know how God would contain himself on the earth until the Holy Ghost came upon men. Now the government of heaven, the entire assembly of heaven, is inside men.
And Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 begins to say that now the manifold wisdom of God shall be made known by the church to the principalities. It is not for you to come for an overnight meeting and keep praying, Satan, you're under my feet. Say, no, you are the prince. You are now the terrorist of the principality. For that manifold wisdom of God to be made known by the church, men who are full of the Holy Ghost and are not ashamed are going to meet with presidents like Trump and say, I'm not ashamed. They're going to meet with the Elon Musk and say, I'm a child of God. They will be given the language of the king. They'll be able to speak languages that kings understand and become beneficial to the kingdom of God. I declare nobody can shut down your light after tonight. I came to raise Daniels at Covenant Nation. Every Daniel, lift your hand. Every Esther, lift your hand. Every Joseph, lift your hand. People that God is trusting in the agriculture industries, like Josephs, who know how to take care of things and how to keep food for a nation for years. They are here today. The promise of the Father. Stay in Jerusalem. Get the blueprint. Interpret the blueprint. Understand it. God is involved in their affairs. God rules in human kingdoms. God rules in their affairs. The king of the south will do, the king of the west will do, but they that know their God, they shall be strong. Ah, Nigeria, you shall be strong. Please, Nigeria, listen to me. Out of you, Noah, the ability to keep building for 120 years when nobody believes in what you're building. Daniel, the exemplary grace to stand as an example in a generation that God is going to use a man even if there's a Babylonic system in play. Moses, the depressed, deliverer. That no matter how forgotten you feel, God is still going to use you because He called you. Job, the example of suffering and patience, that the end of a thing will become better than its beginning. And Samuel, the ability for a woman to pray until a point of covenant, so that something new is birthed in a generation. Samuel represents a new thing. The old is gone, the new is come. Daniel's, Joseph's, Esther's, arise. One more time, lift up that light. Father, I pray for every representation of light. It's just a representation. No man can shut that light down. The provision of God is made sure. I speak over any of you that is going to use your hands to begin a thing. And I declare, may the grace that works in our lives work in your life. Let there be assurance of provision. Let there be tarrying and waiting until you receive the mysteries of God. Let this not be a problem in your dream. Let there be victory in whatever you put your hand to do. 12 years of going round in circles, your time has come to an end. Because they that know their God, they shall be strong. I'm not one of those that asks for more time. But I feel so strongly as you go through this day. The foundation has been laid for you to receive strength. I feel this so strongly. Your children that shall come out of you. Africa has an answer. Samuel was an answer. Your children that shall come from your womb shall do mighty things and shall erase the pain of your past, and they shall be a delightsome in the land. Let me stop there. If you believe what I'm saying, put your hands together for Jesus.